for listening to the Beautiful Life podcast, where we believe this is no ordinary life, and every day an opportunity to discover more of God's heart, pursue His manifest presence, and make a difference by no ordinary means. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Nigel Desmond. For more information and other resources, visit www.noordinarylife.co.za.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. And Lord, I ask that you would speak to our hearts, Lord God. That you'd speak to our hearts and you would cause your word to come alive. In Jesus' name. Amen. So I have been wanting to start a new series. I actually chatted with the guys on our hike that some of the guys and myself, we went on a men's hike yesterday. A couple of notable absences. Rugby season. We understand. But we had a great hike in Newlands Forest, but afterwards we just began speaking about, you know, the nations and God's plan for the nations. And I shared with them, I've been wanting to start a series called the Hope Series. And so this message is actually called Reason to Hope. Reason to Hope. And I believe that in this season right now in the world, hope is needed almost more than any time in the last 20 years. And many of you may know or may not know that 2024 is a pivotal year globally. In fact, over 50% of the world's population are going to the polls this year. Over 50 nations are voting this year, including 8 of the world's 10 most populous nations. So, and just in terms of the direction of the world, this year is a year of shift. And in times of shift, when the world is changing, different systems of thinking and thought and power get deployed to try and influence the course of the world. And Christians need to be a voice in that climate. We are called, the Bible says, to be the light of the world. And you'll often hear Christians sadly say things like, "Ooh, you know, the world is getting really dark these days." Who's heard statements along those lines in that spirit? "Oh, it's getting really dark." Well, I want to tell you, if the world is growing dark and we are the light of the world, it's not the world's problem. Do I need to say that again? If the world is growing dark, but Jesus says that we are the light of the world, then it's not the world's problem. The light needs to shine in the darkness. And we are called to shine in the darkness. And one of the ways that we do that is we actually need to be bringing hope to nations. So 2024 is going to be one of those, I believe, it's going to be one of those years that there's going to be a global shift. But in that, inside of that, we as the church and as Christians, we actually need to position our hearts to bring to the global climate, to bring to the public discourse what God is wanting us to bring. And this is the number one thing that the enemy is wanting to release in the world at this time. He's wanting to release fear. He wants to make the world fearful because fear is at the core of the demonic kingdom, of the enemy's kingdom. Fear is at the core of control. You see, the thing is, if you can make someone afraid enough, you can control them. If there's anything we learn in the global pandemic, that was the one thing. It was just unbelievably crazy how we bought into this narrative of unbelievable fear, and globally, the church stopped meeting. If you had told me that somehow a decree could go out from Caesar's palace somewhere and that the whole church globally would stop going to church for a year, if you told me that in 2019, I would have said you were nuts. It would never happen. And yet, essentially, that's what happened. The whole world gave up its liberty and confined ourselves to our own, you know, it's like under house arrest for a year and a half. A sentence was passed and we put ourselves into confinement for a year and a half. Now, I know that there were reasons for that, etc. But why did it happen? Why did we comply? Because we were afraid. Now, we can debate whether or not that fear was justified or warranted, etc. But the point I want to make is that if you can make people fearful enough, you can control them. But God's kingdom is different. You see, God is not pursuing power. In fact, the Bible says that Jesus is the power of God. The kingdom of God is not based on the accumulation of power. The kingdom of God is based on the distribution of power. The Word of God says that Jesus said, "I came that you might have life and have it to the full." He came not that we would be confined and controlled, because you see, very often we think that the purpose of Christianity is to control people's lives. But I want to tell you that nothing could be further from the truth. God actually is pursuing a people who are so free and that he can distribute his power, because in him is all power. He wants to distribute his power to all his people so that we might be free. I came that you might be, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. What does freedom look like? There's another word for freedom, and it's this: self-control. Self-control is freedom. What do I mean by that? Well, think about it. If someone else is controlling you, you are controlled. And if that is complete control, you are a slave. But if you are self-controlled, you are in control of yourself. That is freedom. One of the fruits of the Holy Spirit is self-control, because God is distributing his presence and his power to his people that they might be free. So what the world is doing, what the demonic kingdom operates on, is a culture of fear. And in this year, you will find, and if you are an imbiber of social media and news media, you will notice that fear is really being pushed. There's massive fear, probably at a level that we've never seen in global history, that is being pumped through the media. Why? Because the enemy and different agendas and people are pursuing power. And in particular, as we get the run-up to elections globally, you're going to hear people pushing fear narratives, because it's like, man, this terrible thing is coming and only I can save you. Trust me, I will save you from the terrible thing that is coming. What are they pursuing? They are pursuing power. They are pursuing your power specifically, that you will give away your liberty to make decisions and allow them to make the decisions for you to keep you safe from the terrible thing. And, you know, we've seen this in our own country. We've seen examples of that. I'm going to speak about four different kind of fears that are being sold. Firstly, we are told to be afraid of other people. And in South Africa, that manifested in our history with every election cycle, the National Party would sell different fears. First, there was the swart gevaar. Forgive me if my Afrikaans is terrible, but everyone, was that clear enough? Did I say it? Okay, swart gevaar, the black fear. And so the National Party would try to control the narrative by making white people afraid of black people in order to divide people. After that, they sold the rooi gevaar, the red danger, the black danger, and then the red danger. No, that was the danger of communism and the danger of social. But what they would do is they would paint a fearful picture in order to get people running to their camp to give them power so that they could control the narrative. And in our day and age, we're getting the same thing. Man, it's like we're getting people, the social media is breaking things down into groups. And so we get our collective identity. And then, in South Africa, we still got the whole racial politics agenda that's going on. You know, you need to be afraid of, you know, black people or white monopoly capital. You know, we're getting those things. But what basically is happening is politicians and people stand up and they gain their power by making us afraid of one another. And that's how they draw their power. So that's the first fear. We get afraid of other people. Instead of standing back and recognizing that all people are made in the image of God. And the interesting thing is that actually, even people who disagree with us and even people who don't believe like us, essentially every human being has the same heart and desire for themselves and for their family. Now, even that person that you completely disagree with politically, perhaps you're more of a free market kind of person and you are very concerned about people who want to bring in sort of communist ideas or socialist ideas. You've got to understand that that person who you fundamentally disagree with, their goal is for economic well-being for them and for their family. That's what they want to build a life for them, for their children, that their children have a better future. They've just got different ways that they want to get there. Second fear, and this actually, second fear is economic fear. And so, the world economy is driven by two different motivations. The motivation of fear and greed. That's how the stock market cycle goes. When greed is at height and everyone's saying, oh, just buy in, you're going to get rich, you're going to get rich, you're going to get rich. When everyone's like, wow, they say, that's the time to sell. That's the time to sell. And then when everyone's like, it's terrible. Well, we're all going to lose everything. We're going to lose the shirt on our back. And the stock market plunges. They say, that's the time to buy. And so we go through this cycle of fear and greed. Do you know that neither of those motivations really is the kingdom motivation? Even though they're very natural human reactions. I'm going to speak to you about the kingdom reaction in a moment. But how does economic fear end up leading to control? In the 1950s, a man called Friedrich Hayek wrote a book called The Road to Serfdom. And he wrote about the economic roots of both Nazism and socialism. And he showed how that Nazism and communism, socialism, which ended up fighting, were literally at the core of the Second World War. Many people from the West, we see the Western democracies fighting against Nazism. But what we tend to forget often is actually the Western democracies were allied with communist Russia and fighting that war. And without the assistance of communist Russia, to be quite honest, I'm not sure the Second World War would have ended in the same way. The communist countries actually fought a huge part of that battle, and the interesting thing is both Nazism and communism came from the same root. In fact, Nazism is just national socialism. Communism is international socialism. Both of them were socialism. And both of them were actually systems of control that developed on people, and this is how they sold it to people. They made people afraid economically. They said, you are always going to be poor, and you're always going to be poor, and you have got a fearful future in front of you. What we need to do is we need to group together as a collective identity, and if you give us your power to do that, then we will provide for you a safe and secure future. You see, Nazism was like they collected together in forms of a national identity. Communism just collected together in terms of a social class identity, the workers. But essentially, it's the same mindset. And so what happened was, people, because they were afraid, gave over to their governments more and more power. They gave because they were afraid. And these governments said, listen, just give me control. I tell you what, I will give me control of your life. And I will get it secure for you, a job, housing, and income. Sounds amazing. Only problem is, now that I have said I'm going to give you a job, I'm going to tell you where to work and how to work. Not only that, but I have to fit you for that job, so I'm going to educate you and teach you how to think. I'm going to tell you where to live. And pretty soon, you get controlled in every aspect of your life because you've given that over to the government. You can't make your own decisions because you no longer have responsibility for your life. And you've given your responsibility over. So when you give away responsibility, you give away control. And it was the same for both Nazism and socialism. And so collectivization always leads to central planning, authoritarianism, and a loss of freedom. And so in this day and age, you'll see people just pushing that the world is getting dark, that the future is awful, the future is scary and terrifying. And in that environment, you always get demagogues and false messiahs jumping up and saying, I'll save you. Stalin, Hitler, same kind of demagogues, and that's what they did. Third fear that you'll see very prevalent in our day and age, climate fear. I mean, we need to recognize there's probably something going on in the climate. However, the way it's being sold at the moment is so extreme and so fearful and so terrifying because there is an agenda behind it. There's an agenda behind it. I mean, honestly, I'm seeing on social media young people in their 20s bawling their eyes out, crying, because they have honestly drunk the Kool-Aid, bought the lie that we're all going to be dead in 15 years. Honestly, and the worst thing is there's pseudoscientists who jump up and say, that's true. I honestly want to grab those people and just, snap out of it. It's just so extreme. It's so ridiculous. But what's the agenda? The agenda, again, is control. Because if you can make people afraid enough, then you can start taking control over how they generate power, how they run their economies, how they run their lives, because they're so afraid, how many children they have, where they live, how they live, etc. In all honesty, I saw a young person recently, and seemed to be a fairly educated person, saying they had this map of the world, and they showed this area of North America that in the year 2080, according to their predictions, this whole area is going to be flooded. But now, and living in this area, there are millions of people, 80 million people, live in this area, and they are all going to be drowned by 2080.
That is 80 million of the most stupid people in the world. Because apparently the water level will rise by 2 inches a year at the most. Listen, if you don't notice that the water level has risen 10 inches over the last 10 years and it manages to get over your head in that time, you are one of the dumbest people in the world. No one's that stupid. Did you hear what I'm saying? The reality is maybe the water level will, but humans adapt. And to be quite honest with you, I don't believe that we're going to have the catastrophic kind of effects that they're speaking about. I don't believe. There may be some global warming. There will be some effects. But what they're talking about is too extreme. And the reason it's pumped at this level of extremity, it's for fear and control. Fear and control. And then the other fear is eschatological fear. Now, what's eschatological fear? It's like, it's the fear of the future, what the world's going to look like. And you get a secular version of this. It's funny how many of you have noticed, if you ever watch a movie these days that's set in the future? If I tell you, hey, Mike, I'm going to go watch this movie with you. It's set 100 years in the future. If you go to that movie, already in your mindset, you know it's bad. The future in movies these days, like 9 out of 10 of them, the future is bad, not good. It's like a post Holocaust world, or robots have taken over, AI has taken over. But life in the future never seems to be as good or better than it is now. And yet, how many of you, if I could provide you with a time machine, how many of you would choose to go backwards? And where would you go? Where would you go? I mean, seriously, you know, people are like 100 years ago, it was better. I'm like, nah. What do you think? 2024, that's the 1924. That's just 10 years after the First World War ended and just a couple of years before the Second World War began. In many countries, women didn't have the vote. Healthcare was unbelievable. Education. Where was it better in the past? Which era was it better than now? The reality is actually, God is working in the world, and yes, the world is not perfect, and yes, we still have massive global challenges, but actually, it appears to me that light is coming into the world, not receding from it. And I don't believe that he's going to lose control of the agenda in the future. I don't think he's up in heaven and he's gone like, you know what, I've been doing a fairly good job up until now, but now it's so complicated. It's so difficult now. I think I'm just going to give up, rapture them all out, and we give up. No. Of the increase of his government, there shall be no end. That's the declaration of Scripture. And notice there, it's of the increase of his government, there shall be no end. And then, of course, there's church eschatological fear. Part of the reason why we have so little hope, I believe, is the church, by and large, has bought into a false eschatology that the world is getting worse. We have more expectation that the Antichrist is coming than that his kingdom is coming. And Mike and I were talking about this yesterday because, you know, we are in our, in our 50s. We have lived through so many Antichrists. We've lived through so many Antichrists. I remember when I got saved, the church were confidently telling me, like, Gorbachev is the Antichrist. Did you remember Gorbachev? I mean, you young people don't even know who Gorbachev is. Hey, do you know who Gorbachev is, Josh? Who was Gorbachev? Was this Russian politician, head of the Soviet Union, and he had this birthmark on his head, like had a mark. And Christians confidently told me when I first got saved, that's the mark of the beast on his head. If you look at it carefully, you can see 666 in it. Did you remember that, Mike? I can remember looking at this picture of Gorbachev, like, really? And like, no. And people told me it so confidently. So you'd look and you're like, can you see it? And I'll be honest with you, I was a young Christian. I go, yeah. Like, I didn't want to be the only guy in the room who didn't see it. You're like, yeah, eh? What, you know, you just kind of look, you turn your head sideways and you squint your eyes a bit and then turn the photo over the other way. Then you can see it. You know, and we did, and then he disappeared off the scene. Then there was Boris Yeltsin. Boris Yeltsin was the new Antichrist. And I remember various popes have been the Antichrist, American politicians. Of course, during the Obama years in America, you know, I literally heard people say, the abomination that causes desolation. You see, it's in the Bible. And I'm like, really? That's amazing. And we live through these Antichrists. And the church has this expectation that the world is getting worse. And yet, that's not the word of the Lord. The Bible says that the day is dawning and the darkness is passing. That's amazing. And Jesus said, told us to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom come. Everyone say, come. Your kingdom. Do you think Jesus would teach the entire church to pray a prayer that he had no intention of answering? Just pray this. I'm not going to do it, but it's going to be fun to watch you for the next 2,000 years just asking for the kingdom to come, but I have no intention of doing it. That's just crazy. But what is God's word on this? What do we have to say to the culture this time? Turn with me in your Bible to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 14. But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Now this is where when you do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. As I read this passage of Scripture, the first thing that strikes me is that people should be looking at our lives and they want to know why. Why have you got so much hope? Why have you got so much hope? I don't you understand we're going to be dead in 15 years? Don't you understand that the stock market and everything else and property and, you know, the enemy is coming and World War III is breaking out and you know, don't you understand that the future is terrible? But why are you so hopeful? We need to be the people who suffer from Jessica has a saying, she often uses it. What's it? Toxic positivity. She gets accused of this at times from some of her friends. That, I mean, when she danced for Cape Town's Silly Ballet, people would get irritated with Jessica and say, listen, life isn't always unicorns and rainbows, wasn't it? And Jessica would say, listen, you need to understand, I fight for my unicorns and rainbows every day. We need to be people who carry so much hope that we have to defend our hope. That we have to tell people, no, I've got reason for hope. How do we become those people? First thing, and this is the command of Scripture, do not fear what they fear. Do you know that in the church, we're not called to buy into the world's fears. We are not to fear what they fear. It's so important. When you buy into fear, you buy in to the enemy's control over your life. And we're called not to fear what they fear. You see, the world system runs on fear. So the world gets you to be afraid. And what happens is they build systems that are power over people. See, that's what the enemy's always looking. He's seeking to have power
over people. But in God's kingdom, He is full of power. He wants to distribute His power. So in the kingdom is not based on fear, but on faith. And faith then leads to God's power invested in people. Literally, God is looking for a people. He's just wanting to empower you, pour out His power. That's why His supernatural power, His miraculous power, He set up a system in the church to distribute His power so that His anointing, His presence, His power can be given to people. He wants to, God's kingdom, interestingly enough, is decentralized. He pushes out His power into people because He's raising many sons to glory. He's not wanting to make Himself look great because He is great. What He's wanting to do is invest Himself in you and raise you up into the fullness of your identity in Christ. So we called not to fear what they fear. And that means that for every Christian, you need to do the internal work with the Holy Spirit and the Word of God to evict fear from your life. Think about it. Those darkest times in your life, by and large, there have been those times when you've ceded ground to fear. When you've allowed fear to get into your soul, to get into your spirit. But the Bible says that perfect love casts out all fear. When we allow His perfect love to fill us, that casts out that fear. And what do we replace that fear with? Faith. I love this saying. He who has the most hope has the most influence. He who has the most hope has the most influence. That's the voice the church needs to be in this time in the world. We are called not to allow our hearts to be captured by the world's fears. Colossians 2 verse 8. Turn with me to Colossians 2 verse 8. I want you to see this. It says, see to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ. So often when people come and try and sell fear to you, they will say things like, oh, but you've got to be wise, hey. You've got to be wise. You just need to be wise. And what that you've got to be wise is they just trying to introduce a little bit of fear into your life, all right? It's like, you know what? It's fine to have faith in God, but you know what? You need to just hedge your bets with a little bit of fear, you know? And what we're doing here is we're not going to call it fear, because that's not right. We're going to call it wisdom. And that's the wisdom of the world. It's the wisdom of the world. It's like, oh, here we go. Here's a nice little package. It's called wisdom. You're like, ooh, wisdom, nice. Ooh, yeah. And the next thing, fear grabs your heart. Like, well, man, it didn't turn out the way I expected. And the next thing, you're being controlled in an area of your life. So we're not called to live like that. Do not be frightened. First thing was, or do not fear what they fear. We don't fear the same things that they fear. We have one fear that God commands, fear God. But the interesting thing is it's not, we're not called to be afraid of God punishing us. We are to live in awe of God, the awe of God. We recognize who our God is. He hasn't lost control of the agenda. He hasn't lost control in history. I love the English word history because for me, when I see it, it's His story. History is the story of God working in the earth to bring humanity into a greater expression of the freedom and the fullness and the prosperity that God has for them. That's history. It's His story. If you look back in history through a biblical Christian worldview, you will see it's filled with the kingdom expanding into all the earth. So, we don't allow fear to dominate our lives. Why? Why do we not allow it? Well, the next part of that scripture tells us. Because it says, set apart Christ as Lord. Fear and faith
ultimately is a lordship issue. It's a lordship issue. That's what it is. If Jesus Christ is your Lord, His commanders, do not be frightened. Yeah, that's challenging. Literally, the Lord commands you, don't be afraid.
But I am afraid.
Well, don't be.
But I am afraid.
Well, stop it.
But I'm afraid.
But the question is, do you know that Jesus Christ is Lord of you and of the world? That He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, that He is bringing His kingdom and He has a good plan for your life. Because when we settle that, we're like, you know what? I'm not going to be afraid. Even with this spirit of fear invades my room. And we've had that. I mean, my wife and I, we're very familiar with spiritual warfare. I'm very familiar with the whole night terror thing where you wake up in the middle of the night. Is anyone, I mean, maybe it's just our family that this is going to happen to. But we've had nights where literally go to sleep fine. Totally fine. And I wake up 2 hours later and it seems like a spirit of fear has invaded my room. And I sit up in my bed and I'm like, man, you know, every hair on my body seems to be tingling. And I recognize now that a spirit of fear has come into the room. And we've learned over time to go, man, I am discerning a spirit of fear in the room. It's not mine. It's the demonic. And I'm not buying in. I'm not going to be part of your system. Because even if you're here, Christ is here and He rules over you. Amen? Jesus is Lord over the nations. He is King of Kings. And so, it goes on and says, be prepared. I want to encourage you to start preparing. Get prepared to give people reasons why you're so full of hope. Oh, why are you so happy? Why are you so hopeful? Don't you understand? Flooding is coming. The Antichrist is coming. The EFF are going to rule South Africa. Trump is going to get reelected. Biden's going to get reelected. Kennedy is going to get elected. That takes faith. You know, whoever you, it's amazing. Us Christians, we are absolutely crazy in an election cycle. We start putting our faith in a person rather than the King of Kings. And so every election cycle, we invest our hope into a particular politician. We call to carry hope. You are a hope carrier. There is a hope. Jesus has promised over your life, your personal life is, I know the plans I have for you, Debs. On your birthday, Sue, I know the plans I have for you and for your children and for your grandbabies. I know the plans I have for you. Plans for good and not for evil. Plans to give you a hope and a future. When that is so deeply embedded in your spirit, no matter what the enemy throws at you, you say, you know what? I don't know how God will get around this, but He's going to get around this. And no matter what the enemy threatens me with, I know that God has good in store for me. My friend Bill Bennett, Pastor Bill, who preached here a couple of years ago, he shared a story with us that I've never forgotten. He was in the gym the one day, and he was working out with one of those weight machines with, you know, a bar and a cable and a stack of weights. And he was, I can't remember how many hundreds of kgs he was pulling. And he was pulling it down the one day, and the cable snapped. And his arms went out and his foot went out like this to try and steady himself. But his foot went straight underneath the weight stack. And this, like hundreds of kgs of weights just dropped straight on his foot. Bah! Like that. And he said when they came, and he yelled. And the people came and he looked and he said there was so, his foot was so flat, they couldn't get their fingers underneath the weight stack to lift it up. To get him out. And he's just yelling. And the people come. And like he's just praying. Oh God, please, 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 Lord. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Don't let the foot
be broken. He was just praying and he was praying and he was praying. And they lifted off, took him to hospital, and he's just praying for his foot. And anyway, it was a miracle. Although his foot split like a wet bag, not a single bone was broken, nothing, and it healed over time. And afterwards, he was sharing a testimony with this one person about how God's so good. And this guy goes, says, "But listen, Bill, how can you be praising God that the weight stack fell on your foot? You know, why are you praising God? You know, something bad happened. You know, Bill's job, but none of the bones are broken. It was a miracle." And the guy said, "But what if all the bones had been broken?" He said, "Well, I suppose I would have praised God that they had healed." He said, "Well, what if they didn't heal and they had to cut your foot off?" He said, "Well, I suppose I'd praise them that I had another foot and that I, you know, only the foot." He said, "But what happens if it got infected and it, like, they had to cut your leg off?" He said, "Well, you know, I'd put my little stompy on and I'd be praising the Lord that I still had one leg and I was still alive." The guy said, "Bill, man, but what if that didn't happen and the whole thing got infected and you died?" He said, "Well, then I'd be in heaven and I'd be praising him forever." And I always remember the story because he just realized that no matter what, I have set my heart to believe that he has good in store for me. I may go through difficult times, and like I said last week, we do. In this world, you will have tribulation. In this world, you will have trouble. But that does not negate our great hope in Christ. That does not negate the fact that God is working in the nations. And I tell you why this message is so important right now. In Africa in particular. Africa, the average age of Africa is under the age of 30. It's actually under the age of 27, but I'm just, you know. So the average age is majority under the age of 30. And if we do not preach a message of hope at this time, we're going to have generations of people just check out from life and have no hope, no vision for the future. But it's people with hope and vision that build the world of the future. Amen? You know, the interesting thing is, they say the man who believes that things are going to be better, than he expected, and the guy who believes that things are going to be worse, they're normally both right. Because you get what you expect. Amen? And God is looking for a generation of people who will rise up and be. So why can we have hope? I'm going to summarize with these things. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. He's Lord over your life. He's Lord over your family. Secondly, the kingdom is advancing. Don't buy into the lie that the world is getting worse. If you look at any statistic of basic literacy, length of life, maternal infancy deaths, deaths in childbirth, education standards, food and nutrition. All these things, in actual fact, they are getting better over time. Why is it that we are more aware of them? Because we're focusing more and more on a problem which is receding. Does that make sense? So we're looking better at issues that have always been there. Does that make sense? We've become more aware. We need to get rid of this thing in our society. But in doing so, we've lost perspective in saying that, you know, that's always been there, but actually, it's getting better. And in order to deal with it, we're trying to deal with it by making people so afraid of it that they focus on it. Did that make sense? You know what I'm saying? Finally, God is a good God. God is a good God. How God is a good God? He loves you. He's got good plans for your life. He's got good plans for your children. He's got good plans for your grandchildren. I find it exciting that And when I read the scripture, God introduces himself as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That means that when he comes to you, he's already thinking three generations. So like in my case, I mean, in my case, he's the God of Nigel, Jessica, and fill in the blank. Grandpa's little snook. I don't know. hasn't been born yet, but God's already got plans for the third generation. He's already planning for Jessica's grandchildren. That's so exciting. And they're good plans. I don't see them, but he's got plans. That's why we have hope, and we call to carry hope. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I just break off all fear and anxiety in Jesus' name. All fear and anxiety. Lord, we choose to set apart Christ as Lord. Not just you're the boss of our lives, but you're King of Kings. Over all the earth is yours, the fullness thereof. And therefore we can have hope in this life and in the next that you have a plan for nations, you have a plan for us, and that you have got good plans to give us a hope and the future. And Lord, we put our trust in you. We ask you to forgive us for when we've drunk the Kool-Aid, bought into the lie, begun to believe like the world, and we've listened to the demonic voice of fear instead of your voice of love and faith over us. And right now, Lord, I ask that you would loose over every one of us. Just put your hands out. Lord, I loose in the Spirit of God hope, faith, love over every person, Lord. Lord, if anyone has been battling with long-term demoralization, discouragement, depression, anxiety, right now I break that off in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord God, that you do a new work in us. May we become a community known for carrying not toxic, but chronic hope, chronic positivity. That, Lord, it is impossible to be around us without going away with more faith, hope, and joy. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Beautiful Life podcast. Never miss an episode by subscribing to our channel below. If you would like to keep in contact with us, you can sign up for our newsletter by emailing us at info@noordinarylife.co.za or visit our website. If you have any testimonies, please email us. We'd love to hear them. Until next time, have a blessed day.